Welcome to episode 34 of the 11.7 podcast brought to you by the College Baseball Hub. James and I are up on this Friday night, and we're excited to have this for you. Let's do it. Welcome back to another Friday night edition of the 11.7 podcast. Today is going to be a fun day, but first we want to talk a little bit about our social media game. If you guys aren't aware, we are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube now, where we just uploaded a brand new interview for the, for this episode. We're going to blend it into the end of it. But it was with Casey Dykes, volunteer assistant coach for the Indiana Hoosiers.
And yeah, man, we are growing on every platform.
Literally every platform. I think everything except for Vine. And the only reason why we're not on Vine is because that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I think we're going to post on MySpace next. And who knows? But, dude, I'm excited. We were able to put up our first full-length podcast officially on YouTube. That was episode 33. You guys should definitely check that out. And also continued, if you enjoy what we're talking about, or if you'd like to give us some feedback, maybe you don't follow us on Twitter. Maybe you've only ever listened to our podcast, which is fine. We love hearing feedback. So if you'd like to subscribe to our podcast, leave a rating and maybe some constructive criticism. If you'd like, we'd love to hear from you guys on our podcast as well. So we're all over the place, man. It's crazy.
And tell your friends about it. It is officially like the heart of college baseball season, moving towards the absolute electricity factor of playoff college baseball between conference tournaments and regional, super regionals, College World Series. We'll be covering all of that stuff exclusively. So tell your friends about it. We are going to be the number one place for college baseball news, insight, sources, all that stuff. And we have a lot of fun things planned for you later on this year. So tell your friends about us. We're still the number one college baseball podcast. That's how we came into existence. And we just found that we started growing on all social media platforms. We do our own original content, especially on Instagram. If you guys like, original pictures with unique edits and that kind of stuff. Our boy Dimitri is on top of all that. We got to give him a lot of credit for it. He's been killing the Instagram game.
And our username everywhere. Every platform is 11.7.
That's right. 11,
and the point is spelled out, P-O-I-N-T, 7. So we're hoping to get some interaction from you guys. We always like hearing from you.
And we have been. We've been getting a ton. So we want to add to that. But, James, let's preview the show a little bit. We have, like I said, at the end of the episode, we're going to put in the a really cool interview we had with a volunteer assistant coach who kind of went viral the day that the third paid assistant vote got denied by the NCAA.
Yeah,
He's been really big on social media. Old assistant coach of VMI, now the volunteer assistant coach at Indiana University. And one of the most likable guys in college baseball. I was approached by the Mercer baseball coaches, 2 days ago, and they said they heard about the interview with Casey Dykes, and they're like, yeah, he was like one of our favorite coaches in the SoCon when he was at VMI. Like,
really
nice guy. Oh yeah, dude, they knew everything about him. So highly respected in the game. Had some really unique points on why he thought it should have been passed, but he's not going to let that stop him from pursuing the career in college baseball. And at the end of the day, he was just a really chill dude to be around. Like, we just kicked back, talked college baseball. He was really enthusiastic, and I thought he was a good interview. So you guys that'll be at the end of the episode. You guys really enjoy that. And
I want to add as well, if I was a high school recruit around the country or a JUCO guy, and I'm looking for a nice school to go to, a school that is well-funded and also supports baseball, Indiana's a place to be. Yeah. Their athletic director was supporting the third paid assistant. They understand the benefits to the coaches and the athletes, and they want baseball to move forward. It's a good place to go to school, Ben.
Good place. And the cool thing about Indiana is not only are they successful now, they've been successful the last decade or so. You have Major League Baseball players like Kyle Schwarber, Sam Travis, and then the whole coaching staff at Arizona State right now, who's nationally ranked. They came from Indiana, so it's a good place to be. We have a lot of Indiana followers on this podcast. I think of our original the IU baseball Twitter page was one of our first followers.
One of our OGs, baby.
Yeah, and we love those guys. So we're gonna do that at the end of the episode. But before all that, we're gonna recap some scores from tonight. A lot of college baseball action that was a little surprising to me. Like Mississippi State just putting an absolute beat down on Georgia today. I thought Georgia would be a little bit more competitive than that, but Mississippi State was kind of getting disrespected around the SEC the last couple of weeks. They felt the need to announce their presence with authority, some shall say. And we'll talk about all that. We'll also do our little personality segments for the Would You Rather. We might even talk a little about what's been going on our Twitter game with people trying to troll us, and they don't realize that we make the rules. So we've had to block a few people, but it's not our choice.
I know we're moving on, but when you engage with 5,000 people, you're going to have about 10 knuckleheads. So it is what it is. We'll go on.
We handle the knuckleheads, I think, better than anybody else. We just we've kind of played with them for a while.
I think we have the most fun with it than anyone else.
Yeah, like adding a couple like sirs in there, like, what would you like to do, sir? Like, how would you change this? We had a couple guys that just refused to acknowledge the mid-major polls. They were like trying to tell us that we need to accept mid-majors based off of annual budgets for their athletic departments. And I'm like, dude, if we broke down all 300 Division I budgets, like, it would take a year. Like, we're gonna do it off conferences, black and white, buddy. Like, cut and dry.
Yeah, because to defend ourselves within conferences, teams vary greatly in their budgets as well.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying. Like, he wanted us to take like Texas State and Liberty and move them to mid majors because, I don't know, like Tulane had a bigger athletic budget. And I'm like, dude, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to do it, go ahead. We're not going to stop you.
Yeah, no, we do have Liberty as a mid-major because they're in a mid-major conference, but Texas State and the
maybe I got that all mixed up, but that guy was just a knucklehead. But we had fun with him. I don't even think we ended up blocking him. We just kind of felt bad for him a little bit. That's my cat opening the door over there. I don't know how she does that.
Dude, she's got thumbs, bro.
She's got more than just thumbs. She's got an evil brain. That's what it is. But anyways, James, let's dive into some scores from today. I know that there was a lot of top 25 matchups that intrigued me, I guess. But before we go into scores, I'm just going to throw out the fact that the Mercer Bears won their seventh straight. And so conference win over ETSU, comeback win. Shout out to Mercer. I officially suspended myself from attending Mercer baseball games until they lose. Because the last game that I went to was their last loss, and they've won seven since. Seven in a row.
They're hot.
They're hot. Mercer, and,
dude, maybe Mercer's going to – the Mercer mojo is changing. The last couple years, the Mercer Bears have been running – you guys have been running through everybody, and then conference tourney time, just can't quite get into the dance. I think it's changing. I think we're going to sneak in, and then all of us – bam! We're going
to win the tournament. Exactly. A little different this time. So
I hope so. But there's another. Speaking of expelling, what are we gonna do about Ole Miss? They just pounded the Aggies tonight. Or there's genuinely gonna be like a borderline top 10 team in the country, not in our rankings. Wait, I love it.
Who are we talking about?
Ole Miss. They beat A&M last night.
I don't know who you're talking about. I'm not going to acknowledge them. They're expelled,
North
James.
The North Alabama Jaguars.
I'll put a little sugar on this. If the Rebels of Ole Miss win the SEC, like the regular season or the tournament,
then we'll rank them. We will rank them.
But until then, not happening.
So fair warning. I don't care. We don't care if they win. When Oakland A's style, when like 18 or
something straight,
ain't happening.
They could win the College World Series and not win the SEC. We're not ranking them.
Yeah. Stipulation number one.
Yeah.
And the ban will be taken away by the end of the season. Like when the season concludes.
Yeah.
You know, they will be out of purgatory.
So. Yeah. Dude, we're getting a lot of engagements like supporting us for expelling Ole Miss. Like, obviously the Ole Miss fans, I think they kind of know it's a joke and they're just like, aha, like whatever, you guys are funny, like whatever. But like, there's like real people, like LSU fans, Mississippi State fans, Arkansas fans, that are just like, hashtag ban Ole Miss, hashtag expel. Like, it makes me so happy.
Dude, people are rowdy for their college baseball. I mean, we definitely experienced it at some of the big places we went. Like, the rowdiness of some fans. Like, bro, I don't know you. Like, why are you giving me crap? I had some dude in East Carolina told me that my hair was the only thing I had going for me because we were down like 6 runs and all. Like, it was just some rowdy fans is translating into the Twitterverse with the banning. I love it. I love it. But let's hit those scores.
Okay. Do you want to start or finish with this Louisville Alabama A&M score? Because that
just going to rip this Band-Aid off.
Is a treat.
Yeah.
So Alabama A&M rolls into Louisville for a weekend series. I don't know who scheduled this. Good for Alabama A&M. Shame on you, Louisville. But my future national champions, Louisville Cardinals, put up a 32 spot. A 32 spot against Alabama A&M.
That's all?
Dude, 28 hits, 32 runs. They scored 14 runs in the 7th and 8th innings combined. So 10 in the 7th.
Why did they play a 7-inning game?
Dude, Alabama A&M wants the smoke, man. I'm looking at this box.
Dude, they got smoked out. What do you mean they want? They're not gonna be able to play tomorrow.
All right. So the first thing I do is whenever I check these like giant blowouts, I see if there's like a player on the team who scored all the runs that didn't get a hit, like in the starting lineup didn't get a hit. We had Jake Snyder, left fielder for Louisville, hitting 2-hole, went 0-for-3 today, and then gets pinch hit 4.
Yeah, cause.
And so that's bad.
Didn't get a hit in a 32-run game. That sucks.
We also had a 5-for-6 with 8 RBIs. I think I had 8 RBIs my whole senior year.
That's a decent day at the office.
Yeah, decent day at the office. I'm going to read off the doubles. We had Lucas Dunn with a double. Ethan Stringer. Tyler Fitzgerald had 2. Zach Britton had 1.
He's gonna be out of breath soon.
They had 3 doubles. Alex Benelez had 2. Ben Metzinger, 1. Like, 2 triples, a homer. Like, oh my gosh, dude. Just this is my favorite stat of the whole game.
Though. Okay, let's hear it.
Michael Hovermill went 3 1/3.
Who?
Michael Hovermill went 3 1/3, 14 hits, 18 runs.
That's not real.
7 walks, 0 strikeouts.
Dude, he has to, like, I'm not that good at math, but if he pitched 100 scoreless innings, what's his ERA still at?
If he pitched 100 in a row from right now, it'd be like a 1.68.
Good Lord.
But still, 18 earned runs in 3 1/3. I think I could go out there and do it right now.
Dude.
Hadn't pitched since like my junior year of high school.
It's honestly unreal. How many runs and like how high their batting average could possibly be. Like,
yeah.
That's something that looks like it would happen if you just put the, like, literally set a ball on a tee and said, let's scrimmage, boys. Like,
I really do think if you put a ball on a tee, they would have scored less runs. Because, like, it's hard to generate power off a tee. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can hit deep fly balls. Like,
it's weird. It's weird. Hard.
I don't know. We'll have to see it. But, yeah, that was just our little golden ticket from tonight. A 32-1 game. Louisville beats Alabama A&M. But besides that, most of the other games pretty competitive. I also want to throw this out there to all of you LSU fans who keep cursing at us and yelling bad things at us, typing bad things at us. How about you? And the main reason is because we won't put them as a regional host.
Like, they're close. They're really close.
They're like one spot away. And they're like, these guys are a joke. They don't have us ranked.
The 1980s don't influence the 2019 regional. Like, sorry, go to a different outlet if you want the 80s to be impacted today. Like, it ain't happening.
I can't believe these guys don't have us as a regional host. Like,
close the yearbook.
These guys aren't real. Well, you know what? Beat Alabama on a Friday night, and then we might rank you. I mean, host you. But right now, you lost 6-1 to Alabama. LSU, get your facts straight. You're not going to host if you can't beat Alabama, the worst team in the SEC, on a Friday night. Just not happening. Sorry.
Not calling Baton Rouge tonight. It ain't happening. Yeah.
But a team that will be hosting, most likely, Georgia Tech, takes care of Clemson 8-7 today.
What That's is up with the Clemson Tigers? The Tigers.
Clemson is all the way down. Just absolutely.
The cat is out of the bag. The air is out of the balloon. Whatever you like to say. Clemson is free. Is that 9 in a row they've lost? Or do they pick up a midweek?
At least. NC State, a team that we predicted to fall off pretty quickly, has thus fallen off rather quickly. They lose to Notre Dame 5-4 today.
They lost to Notre Dame?
Yeah. But, dude, everything that we've said that might happen, like NC State falling off, Clemson falling off, like all these schools that were like, yeah, we're not going to get too high on them. Like they're falling off. So we're a little ahead of the curve there. But I will say that a big, big game from today was Mississippi State hosting Georgia, ton of rowdy fans. And I thought Georgia was going to walk in there and kind of stun the place. It turns out that their best pitcher, Emerson Hancock, decides he wants to play around and say, oh, my arm hurts. I'm not going to pitch, at the nicest facility he'll ever pitch at. And they get smoked.
Don't be salty because you're going to fall in the weekend series now.
I picked the weekend series thinking Emerson Hancock was throwing Friday night. He wasn't. They lose 19-3. Not even close.
You know what? This is a subtle plug for ourselves. Because you know what we're going to do sooner rather than later? We've been speaking with multiple SIDs all season long. Sports information directors for those not, what's the word I'm looking for? Acronymically inclined at home. Yes, that's a new word. Acronymically. It's an adverb. So I got to use it. But we're going to be reaching out to SIDs. And we'll be able to get some injury news with all that type of stuff by keeping them, staying in the loop with those guys, introducing ourselves. We'll probably be doing that in the future because we need to know this stuff, man. This is the real deal. Like, people want to know what's going on. Just how you check ESPN and you get updates, Bleacher Report, dress of Verlander, scratch from tonight's start. Like, so that's something we'll probably be doing sooner rather than later, but there's a lot of stuff going on for us. You know what I mean? So
Yeah. We're a three-man crew right now holding it down. So eventually we'll be big enough and we'll grow and have all that stuff, I guess. We'll see. But anyways, more scores from today. Miami looks good against Virginia Tech. They went 4-3. Our boys in Indiana lose 7-3 to Minnesota. So not what they were looking for. Home field, we have them ranked pretty high, like 21, somewhere in there, 20, 21 maybe. They lose 7-3 today. Not the end of the world, but they do need to win probably the next two, in my opinion, to stay ranked. Arkansas and Tennessee was a really fun game to watch.
Yes, sir.
Arkansas wins 11-9. Tennessee's still looking pretty solid, though. I will give them that. Like, they are much better than they get credit for. Yeah. They took Arkansas pretty much to the last inning.
I'm high on Tennessee, man.
I am too. And I think Arkansas, when they put it all together, is probably the most talented team in the SEC. Yeah. They've looked really good lately. So that's a series I'm looking forward to the rest of the weekend. Moving to Big 12 play, we had, three really big series that I want to talk about. We have Texas Tech looking like the Texas Tech we thought we would see all year, winning 12-4.
They are who we thought they were.
Yeah, they are who we thought they were.
We let them off the hook.
So 12-4, they beat Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's bats finally cooled off after like 80 runs in six games or something like that. So that's a big win for Texas Tech. They're looking for a first place in the Big 12 this year, potentially a regional host. They need that. They've hosted one like the last 4 or 5 years. Been to Omaha 2 of the last 3 years. And then we had Baylor and TCU, kind of a battle between teams that, I guess we've had, I don't know, they're just both kind
of up. Two of the more frustrating teams.
Yeah, they've both just been really up and down this year. Like, we were really high on Baylor early in the year, and then they sucked, and then we kind of thought they sucked, and then they started being good again. And then TCU were like, this team's great. And then they're like, oh, wait, this team is actually not good. So Baylor beats them 6-3 on the road. And TCU looks pretty much done. And it's going to be funny because TCU and Texas are actually both looking at a potential last place for the Big 12 because Texas...
Battle it out, boys.
Texas loses again today to a rather good West Virginia team, like a very scary West Virginia team, like a team you don't want to see in the regional. West Virginia.
All right. I'm making part of an executive decision. I'm diving into West Virginia deeply at the end of this weekend. We will know everything there is to know about West Virginia. I'm marking it right now.
Do it.
I can't have it anymore. I got to know.
A game and a half out of first place in the Big 12. And then this is probably the best stat of the day. And get your horns down ready because this stat will make you happy. Texas is sitting 5-10. 5-10 in the Big 9. And they are tied for last place. Tied for last place in basically May. It is basically May. And they are tied
72 hours away.
Yeah. They are tied with Kansas. The Fighting Jayhawks are 5-10 also in the Big 12. And Texas is 5 games out from first place with like 9 to play. So all you Texas fans out there, maybe this isn't your year. Keep saying Texas is back. I'm not convinced. I mean, on the other hand, it would not surprise me one bit if they like run through the Big 12 tournament and like don't lose for a month. But right now, not good. Scoring only 2 runs at home on a Friday night, not good. So that's the Big 12 wrap up. One of the I guess non-Power 5 conferences we're looking at right now is the American. There was one big series that caught my eye. East Carolina absolutely takes down Tulane 14-0. They're lucky that it could have easily been more too.
Tulane screwed because Jake hasn't even pitched yet.
Yeah, well, Jake's not even the best pitcher. Jake Kuchmaner is not the best pitcher on that team. Jake Agnos, whatever.
Dude, hold on. I got to give a shout out to all the nerds that listen to this podcast, like myself. He's got like a name of like some famous like evil Star Wars video game character. So Agnos? I'm not surprised he's really good. Yeah, it's like some Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. That is a throwback, a callback to that game. I like the Xbox. So,
all right. Well, that's interesting. Awesome, you talked something there. But Agnos went 5 innings, 2 hits, 9 Ks, and he could have easily went way more. But the score at the time was like, I don't know, like 10-0 when he got out of the game. East Carolina was just putting on a home run clinic. They hit 5, I think, today, 4 or 5. So the Pirates definitely in serious contention to host a regional. It's basically theirs to lose. And speaking of losing, we had UC Santa Barbara finally lose.
Yeah.
After like, I don't know, a month and a half, it felt like. They lose to UC Riverside 9-4. So they need to bounce back. They need to bounce back and win 2 games this weekend to at least have a successful weekend. And then I guess the last 4 games I want to touch on are the Pac-12 that just finished wrapping up. We had Oregon State destroying Washington State, including a Adley Rutschman, like 500-foot homer over the railroad tracks in right field. It was ridiculous. UCLA shuts out Utah 5-0. And our boys at Arizona State, another team we predicted to drop off, you know, come conference play, lose 6-10 to Washington. So the Bash Bros, I think, ended up actually playing pretty decent today. But the pitching staff could not stop the powerful offense of Washington. That pretty much wraps up the scores.
The day that was Friday night around the country, man.
Yeah, Friday night was fun. A lot of ranked matchups.
So now we need to talk about and go over briefly the beautiful 10-game series challenge.
Yeah. We had another lopsided day. It's not the whole weekend, but James went, I think, 5-0. It was like 4-0, and there's still one game being played that you were winning. And I went 2-3. So I got a lot of ground to make up here.
Dude, it's starting to be like September call up time for me. I might bring up some lifetime AAA guys and let them pick some games next week. It's the dog days for you right now, man.
Dude, I'm losing everything.
So like, let's take a quick. Let's say there's 4 weeks left. There's 4 weeks left. There's going to be five series apiece. So there's 20 series left, and you're down 5.5. So you're not out of the water. You're not drowned.
I mean, you have to do your part. You have to start losing. That's number one. If you don't start losing, like I can't make up ground. So,
but
It's kind of like golf because you have to start bogeying and I got to start birdieing. Like that's the only way I'm catching up. So we both know
that this is just a regular season. We're really waiting for the playoffs and the big dance predictions. That is the championship.
We really got to do like a.
We're doing it.
Like, you know how there's like a March Madness bracket? Everybody fills it out.
Yeah, we're doing it.
We got to do it. Oh, we are doing it? Okay, cool. That'll be nice. And then, so the last thing we want to do before we move on to the interview is a little would you rather and some trivia. Since Fridays are our personality days, we get to show a little bit about who we really are.
I've got some questions for you.
Questions or would you rathers?
Well, first, you know what? I was watching some Big Ten baseball today. I was watching Illinois and play Nebraska. What's that?
I said, I'm sorry.
No, it was good. It was good.
I watched like MEAC baseball like Thursday. So
I think we have seen our fair share of mid-major action in the day. So I have a question for you. So
I have an answer for you.
There's this young fella for Illinois, Jack Yellowitz or Yakowitz or something. Something with a wits.
I like Yakowitz. Let's go with that.
We'll go with that. He's an outfielder. But he wasn't wearing his jersey today. And so this will be a fun little segment. He was not wearing his jersey today. Okay. He was wearing number 22, the Sunday starting pitcher's jersey.
So he forgot his jersey.
I want you to tell me why. And I'm going to give you some options.
Oh, wait. You know the answer?
I know the answer. This is our trivia. This is a surprise trivia.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you A, B, or C. A, the manager left his jersey. Because they're on the road. So the manager left his jersey at home. That's option A. Option B is he got ruined during pregame, some malfunction, and he had to change.
Okay.
Option C, it was lost by a third party, so no one with the team. And then the fourth option, option D, is Jack Yakowitz left his jersey at home. He didn't bring it. So what do you think happened? So you got left jersey at home, lost by a third party, pre-game malfunction, or a manager left it at home?
I really hope it's pre-game malfunction. But I'm going to say he left it at home. Because I've done that before.
Right, dude. I actually have a story about that, too. Our first trip of my junior year to East Carolina, I was roomed with a freshman. I counted all the things he left home. It was 13. He left 13 items at home that he's supposed to bring on the itinerary.
I did the same thing my first trip at UT Martin. Literally, yeah. I left everything. I think I've told it on this podcast.
It's just too much.
You get overwhelmed. It's crazy. But
never happened. But the correct answer is that a third party lost his jersey. So the kid from Illinois, United Airlines, lost his bag. He didn't have his jersey. Didn't have his hat, didn't have his glove, none of it. United Airlines with a big fat L right here for Illinois baseball. And I didn't get to hear like if it was only him, you know, or if it was like it couldn't have been the whole team because they were playing. But
could you imagine if it was the whole team? So what would have happened?
Dude, like where are the glove, like where are the bats? Where are the gloves? Where are the jerseys? About those.
That's bad. Bad on United Airlines.
That's, you know, Nebraska, you know what happened? Nebraska would leave their gloves on the field for the other guys. They would practice in practice jerseys that maybe they had or something. and they play the game in practice jerseys, and they have no baseball hats. We just call it a game.
That would be interesting. So basically what you're telling me is United Airlines should sponsor us and pay us $1,000 a second for us not to roast them, right?
That's at least $1,000 a second.
Because we definitely have Illinois' back. We ride with the Illinois Illini.
Yeah. But so. I wanted to bring that segment up because it's something that happens like almost every team, almost every weekend has one knucklehead who does something wrong like that. I mean, yeah. This guy, Jack didn't do anything wrong, but most of the time, like, someone forgets a jersey or a hat. Or
no, listen to this. This actually, my brother told me this today. Okay. So, brother's manager for Southern Miss. They traveled to Middle Tennessee. I think he said eight guys forgot their belt. And they bring extras. Like, they have an extras bag, right? But yeah. They only have, like, three or four in there, like, for belts that break or people that forget them, whatever. So, he actually had to take an Uber to a Dick's Sporting Goods in Tennessee to buy more belts to bring back to the hotel. Like, that was his manager duty.
That's wild.
Like, it happens all the time. Like, people forget stuff. It's
just part of it, man.
Part of it, man.
Bringing some little weird intricacies into college baseball that you just don't really see on television. But, Ben, I've got a would you rather for you now, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
So, a little would you rather segment. I thought about this the other day. Last night I was watching A&M and Ole Miss. I was watching just a ton of baseball games. And classic, watching the games with my old man with Bill, and someone really gets a hold of one, hits it right back to the pitcher. And Bill goes, wow, they got a hold of that one. And, classic Bill. And it made me think, would you rather get jammed or hit one off the cap? Because this kid hits one right off the end of the bat, goes right back to the pitcher. Would you rather get jammed or hit it off the cap? They both suck, so what would you rather do?
I can honestly say that I spent a majority of my career hitting balls off the end of the bat, like trying to pull them, because I was just a big pull guy. And it never felt good to get jammed. So I'm going to stick with like what I know. And what I know is like being early on a changeup and capping it to like the second baseman. So I'm pretty good with that. Let's go with cap. What about you?
I agree with the cap, because if you get capped, you can at least say, like, at least I had a chance to show up. Like, at least I didn't get beat. Like, if you get jammed, like, dude, you got beat, son.
Dude, like, I'll tell you something that was, like, in my opinion, worse than striking out was, like, getting beat on a fastball, getting jammed, and, like, watching the little bloop pop-up go like left side foul territory, and like the catcher and the third baseman like have to call each other off to get this foul. Like, and you just stand there in the box thinking like, can't run to first because if it drops, it's a foul ball. And you just sit there and watch it go straight up and then right into the glove, and then you turn around and go to the dugout. Like, that to me was worse than striking out. Because at least a strikeout, you're like, dang, just missed that one. Like, what I mean? Like, I put a good swing on it, just missed it. Like, that one's like, dude, that pitcher just got up in you. In your kitchen, and
fouling out in the infield and foul territory, the worst.
Yeah,
the absolute worst. So that's my would you rather segment. It made me think about all those times that you mentioned. I was like, oh man, which one was worse? Because these balls suck.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to think of a quick would you rather for you. Would you rather have This isn't like really a would you rather, but so if you're playing a game at like 7 o'clock, would you rather eat a big meal before the game or after the game? Like, after, would you rather have a big lunch and small dinner or
after the game? 100% after the game. It's a good way to like put to bed the game, so to speak.
Yeah.
And plus, if you eat before the game, I always got like groggy, You eat some carbs and it makes you want to go to sleep, and you gotta like be at the game and just
I was actually the opposite. Like, I loved like eating like a big lunch at like noon, going to the field at like 3 or 4, and after the game I was like never hungry. Like, I was just like
I think it's because after the game you kind of have this adrenaline rush and your body's just like, I don't need food. It's not important.
Yeah, I was like, I don't really need food. I just want to go to bed. So. Yeah. I think I'd rather eat a big lunch, like a nice, like, I don't know, Firehouse Sub or something like that. And then
I've never had a Firehouse Sub.
Oh, dude, you're missing out, man. They're good stuff.
That's what John's telling me. They get them all the time for his
dude. Team. It's the best. Best sub place by far that I can think of.
I gotta go. In fact, we gotta go because we're gonna introduce Casey Dykes.
Yeah.
To the fans.
Let's do it. So a little preview for this interview. We got this via direct message because we had a few people tell us we should reach out to him. So we reached out to the SID of Indiana. We reached out to him personally, got it all set up. He was more than happy to do it. Like, he even said, like, oh yeah, like, I've heard of you guys. Like, I did my homework on you before this interview too. So, like, I know what's going on with everything. So that was cool. So he was very informed, like, informed on the whole 11.7 lifestyle, things like that. Turns out we had a lot of connections with him because he played.
Baseball's a small world.
Yeah, very small world. He coached at VMI, which was in Mercer's conference. So he coached there for 4 years. And then James also was playing baseball in Virginia and played against VMI midweeks multiple times. So we had a lot of cool connections with him there. Really, he was just a really cool guy. Like, somebody that, like, I would want my son to, like, be coached by. He knew what he was talking about. Like, really, like, he was energetic, but also, like, controlled at the same time. Like, you could tell he, like, just loves being at a baseball field and, like, could sit there and talk to you for days. So,
We did the interview at 9 o'clock at night, Central Time, and
he's watching film.
he's hanging out still at the yard.
Like, yeah,
that's just a little more insight into the volunteer lifestyle and that these coaches are going through. Man, I'm fired up already, man. Let's give the fans the interview.
Yeah, so you guys enjoy this interview. It'll be the last thing for this episode, so it'll carry out to the end of the episode. So thank you guys for tuning in for another episode. We'll have another one Sunday night that's going to be slam packed. We might even have another guest, if I'm thinking correctly. Maybe not. That might be.
We're loaded, time. Man. It's crazy around here. Yeah. It's wild. It's the Wild West, honestly.
Yeah, it really is. So tell your friends about us. Follow us on all social medias. We are very active on all of them. So let us know what you think. You guys enjoy this, though. What's up, 11.7 fans? We have an awesome guest today. Someone that has kind of gone viral on social media recently. He is the assistant coach at Indiana. Expressed his opinions on the third paid assistant coach not getting passed. But this is actually a coach that James and I have both played against. He used to be at Virginia Military Institute, also known as VMI. And we have a lot of cool connections between us. So this will be a fun interview. Casey, go ahead and introduce yourself. Let the fans know who you are and what you're about.
Casey Dykes. I'm the volunteer assistant. Work with hitters and infielders, base runners, coach first base at Indiana University.
Nice. And so Casey is, I guess, what do you say? Proud to say that you are a part of one of, like, the three programs in the Big Ten that had voted for the third paid assistant. And as a volunteer coach yourself, I'm sure it is something that deems close to your heart that it didn't get passed, but that's not going to stop you. You're a young coach. You got a great career ahead of you. Just a little, like, speed bump in the road, I guess some would say.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was, it wasn't just me, man. There's people all over the country that were disappointed about this, fans, coaches, the players. I think that's what was really cool about this whole thing. And obviously with the tweet and all that, you know, I was just kind of expressing my opinion in the moment. I'd been quiet the whole time and just thought I would, because, you know, just thinking about family and all that. But to see all the players that, you know, that were favored in that tweet and you know, retweeting it and commenting on it and all that, I think it just shows how important this is to the players, you know, that they feel like the universities are really, really backing them up by giving them the support they need, you know, with the coaching staff and with the numbers, with the ratio and all that. So I thought that was, you know, maybe the coolest thing about it all.
Yeah, no, it really was. And the traction that it drove was cool, like, as an outsider, because, excuse me, it was cool because you really saw, like, the whole college baseball community come together. It was like the little guys versus the big guys, and everybody teamed up. And I think that really opened some eyes at the top of the board for the NCAA, like, hey, like, maybe we should help these guys out, like, in the future, whether it's a third paid assistant or maybe just a fourth coach in general. The ratios are just out of whack. The players deserve better. Most of the players are paying for their college.
at least to a certain extent. So having another coach there would really help them develop, because that's what they deserve. So
I want to touch on that too, Coach. And if someone's listening who maybe doesn't know what we're referencing, I just want to read a little snippet of this tweet. And personally, we reached out to you. When I read this tweet, I really felt like I knew you just from this first paragraph. So I'm going to read a bit of it. You say, "This vote doesn't affect me. I've spent my whole career living off peanut butter and jelly. And as former college players, we know, like, we ate that in the dugout."
Yeah.
And then you go on to say, "Those who know me know I prefer it that way. I'm in this career for the players." And when I read that, it honestly sent chills.
Literally goosebumps right now.
And the reason it really affected me like that is because anyone who really has had a good experience in this game, and anyone who's wanted to stay in it, I've stayed in it after playing. I've coached college summer ball in a low-level league down in Houston, Texas. And everyone who stays in this game, they meet a coach or two that really shows them how much they care about them despite their personal circumstances. And when I read that, I was like, this is, like, I know this guy. Like, I've never talked to him. I've never met him, but I know everything I need to know about him. And, like, it really just bothers me so much that people like you are being passed over by people wearing suits that maybe didn't read a proposal. So it really just gets to me personally. But we're honored to have you on, man. Really are.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I think, too, you know, let's not get lost either in – you know, the position I have right now at IU is a position that, you know, probably thousands of people across the country would trade, you know, to be in.
Oh, for sure.
I have an unbelievable situation here. And even at any level of college baseball, to be able to have the opportunity every day to show up and be around, you know, 35, you know, dudes in a locker room and hanging out and hitting fungos and talking shop and watching baseball and talking baseball and throwing BP. I mean, that opportunity is something that, you know, I don't want to seem like I'm taking for granted, because it's not that way at all. Definitely not trying to play a victim in this circumstance. I knew coming into this job, I left a paid job. You know, I was a recruiting coordinator at VMI and left a paid job with benefits and everything to come here because, you know, me and my family decided that we thought this was, you know, the best situation for us at the time with a new staff coming to IU. Obviously, with the tradition of the baseball program here, but really just the school, you know, as a whole, you know, the opportunity, obviously, to work under Jeff Mercer, a guy that, you know, I think is, you know, in my opinion, the best head coach in college baseball. I've seen enough of him. I worked with him. I've played for him beforehand, and to come back and have an opportunity to work with him is something that really drove that. So I knew that, you know, coming here was you know, going to be, I knew the situation I was getting into. Yeah. So I don't want that to be lost, but it is definitely something that, you know, touches me just because of, you know, I know the situation that there's a lot of other, you know, volunteers in my shoes that are going through, kind of the same thing. And this is a big piece.
So Coach, you got a big series this weekend against Minnesota. It's going to be crunch time. I always liked, and I know Ben always liked, when the calendar turns to May, like, this is just a little different air around the games and preparation. So I'm sure it's a fun time of year for you guys.
Yeah, it is. It is. This is a big stretch we got coming up. You know, got Minnesota at our place this week, and then go on the road for a couple weekends, Illinois, Michigan, and then finish up with Rutgers here. So it's not going to get any easier, that's for sure. So it's going to be a fun stretch for us, and just got to keep doing what we have been doing lately, and feel like we'll be in good shape. So
you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. I know it doesn't matter to you guys, but we over here, we think you guys are going to get yourselves a chance to host. That would be pretty fun for you guys. You guys definitely deserve it. You've got the talent and you've got the W, so it's just a matter of taking care of business, it seems like.
Yeah, we just got to keep going. We've been playing well lately. You know, we started off the year kind of up and down early, and just trying, you know, new staff and players getting used to us getting used to the players and doing all that. And I think, you know, as we've kind of got going, it's, you know, it's really been clear kind of what the vision is. And you see the team kind of start to understand, you know, what the standard is.
What has really come together team-wide for you guys that you think is key to that?
I think that our team has finally found a standard that we all want to play by and live by. And I think everyone's bought in now at the beginning of the season. It was a little iffy. We're still learning, like, what the standard was and trying to figure it out. And now I think we've all bought in and we're all playing confident and playing at that standard.
You know, what the expectation is, you know, every day out and starting to all move in that one direction at the same time. And when we do that, you know, we got a chance to be a pretty good ball club. So it's been fun to watch, and our guys have just been getting after it. That's what's been the best, man. It's been they've been kind of creating their own culture here, their own legacy every single day, and it's just gonna kind of keep going. They're gonna make what they want out of this year, and it's gonna be fun to just sit back and keep watching these guys go get it. So
absolutely, I bet that's so rewarding seeing them like form their own little bond, like teammates, and go out and play for each other. That's always really, something really cool to sit back and watch. Taking a step back though. So everybody knows Indiana is like one of those northern states that gets no respect, blah, blah, blah. So what's the biggest challenge as far as like during the winter months to make sure the kids still get their work in? Does Indiana have an indoor facility where you guys go and take ground balls and stuff, or is that limited in your case?
Yeah, well, obviously we're trying to get outside as much as possible. You know, it's going to be cold sometimes, and that's just part of it. You know, we got to use, we're going to play in cold, you know, we're going to play in cold weather early in the year. And, you know, we got a turf field. We have unbelievable facilities here, where we can go inside and anytime we absolutely need to. And we have our cages and an indoor facility right here at the facility. And then we got, we'll go inside our football facility, which is, you know, obviously, full-size football field where we can go in there in the winter months if we need to, and we can hit. We've played live scrimmages in there. We can go in there and get work. You can do everything you need to do. So we have the facilities here to accommodate to any kind of weather and all that. So definitely feel like, you know, you're able to prepare the way you need to. You're not able to get outside, but, you know, that's not something to complain about. If you look for an excuse, you're going to be able to find one. It doesn't matter no matter where you're at. So we have plenty here to do everything we need to do to prepare. So
no, that's really cool. And it's cool how the game of college baseball is kind of changing more and more to favor teams up north. Like you have indoor football facilities now, baseball stadiums, because I know Minnesota just got a new one. Indiana has a brand new one. Michigan just got a brand new facility. So you see teams in the Big Ten now starting to invest a little bit into baseball, which is good to finally see.
I was going to say, it's cold a lot of places. I mean, I went to Virginia and I was like, this is not what I thought I signed up for. It is. And so I specifically remember it was my junior season. So this would be 2016. And we touched on earlier that you were kind of the dude at VMI. We played a game at VMI, and I swear to you, it was the coldest game I had ever experienced. So when you were at VMI, you really led an impressive, you know, charge of hitters out there with Matt Pita, just to name one. And God, you guys could really swing the bat. And it seemed you guys could swing the bat here at Indiana. We've had Arizona State on, and we called them the Bash Brothers. But seems like you've got your own little nickname. I like to call it the Matt Attack. Because you got two guys that can absolutely swing the bat. They've got like 45 extra base hits between the two of them. So I guess between the two schools, I mean, are you like the hitting whisperer, so to speak? Like cold weather doesn't seem to matter, you know, with you being able to teach these guys how to hit.
I've been fortunate. We had at VMI, and if you played against us at all during that stretch, we were fortunate to have some really good players, some really good offensive players, some really good athletes that came through there, you know, on both sides of the ball. And here, you know, obviously we got a super talented roster. You know, definitely have been fortunate to also have along with that some guys that love to work. Like they love to be in the cages. They're smart. They're invested. And when you get a group of guys like that are willing to, you know, listen and work to make changes and continue to buy in to whatever it is that you know the process is that you're trying to follow as a team and as a unit as a cohesive offensive group, you know, guys individually tend to have success. You know, if we get ours, then you're going to get yours is what we always talk about. And that's kind of what we talk about as an offense, as a team, that if we get ours as a full team and your team is first, that's the primary goal in everything that you do. Then at the end of the day, you as an individual, you're going to get what you want out of this whole thing. It doesn't work so much the opposite way around that. So I think the primary thing is just trying to teach them that. And obviously if we were to sit here and talk, you know, mechanics and approaches and all that, we'd be here till 2 a.m. But
yeah, at least. So.
Well, you mentioned the guys are smart, and I've only been coaching for 2 years, and it's been nice to have The guys that you right. feel like you can really dive into things with instead of just rolling out on the lineup card, so to speak. So I know technology is – it's crazy how much the game is – not the game, but the things you can do in the last 5 years have really changed with technology. Is having smart players, does that make using tech more simple or maybe a little easier to dive into the tech and say, okay, let's look at some weird numbers? Because I know Indiana is blessed to have some of that tech, and you guys use it well. But you mentioned the smart hitters. It just made me want to put two and two together with tech.
Right. I think so much that side of it, we have smarter people who take care of the technology. You know, they kind of run the numbers and manage that type of stuff. You know, when it comes to that type of stuff, but we have people, you know, we have people around us that are totally invested as well, helping us get the numbers we need and use the technology to benefit the players as much as possible. And we have all that stuff, you know, we have all the cameras and the TrackMan and Rapsodo and HitTrax and all that. And it's all great. If you have an identity as an offense and you use it to help that identity and really push that identity and guys understand what you're using it for. It also can, I think it can hurt guys too. If you're not looking at it and using it the right way. So we try to just teach them, you know, the right way to use it and have the guys who are smarter than us, you know, help us put it together and crunch the numbers and hand that to us. And then we can just take the information we get out of that and show it to our players and show that why that information is support, why that information is going to help lead to them being a successful offensive player, you know, all the way around. So,
yeah, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems like it's a pretty nice recruiting pitch too, to be able to tell kids like, look, everything we're willing to invest to really figure things out for you guys. And it seems like it's a big movement, but it's gotta be a nice tool shed to have before everyone buys in.
Yeah, it is. I think, you know, when you start to look at college baseball as a whole, obviously, you know, you hear it all the time, recruiting is the backbone of programs and all that. And I think here just as a staff and I've known Coach Mercer for a long time and watched, you know, some of the teams that he's had a huge hand in and recruiting and then obviously leading those Wright State programs and those offenses they had there. So I've known him a long time. He's been a big mentor of mine and, you know, in our opinion, the development part is just as crucial, if not more crucial than the recruiting.
Agreed.
I think you have to be able to recruit at a high level. But once the players get to you, what's next? What are they going to get? I think that's what all, when you talk about smart players and they're in the recruiting process and they're starting to look for, hey, you know, what's the best fit for me? And they're getting recruited by a ton of different schools that, you know, they all have fancy things. They all have great jerseys. They all have, you know, cool Twitter accounts and nice facilities and all that type of stuff. But you know, when you get down to the meat of it, a smart player is going to look and say, you know, what has this staff done to develop players like me? You know, how do I fit into this program? And really that's kind of what we pride ourselves on here. And that's what we've all done in different places that we've been. And it's cool now to kind of get with guys you've known for a long time that have done things that you agree with and that you believe in and that you bounced ideas off of each other for so long. And now you get to come together and work together with them every day, you know, in the trenches with the players and really pour it all into those guys and watch these guys, you know, really work to develop.
Right. No, exactly. And while we're on the topic of recruiting, something that just came to my head literally like 30 seconds ago was like, oh, like Indiana, Big Ten school, like probably gets all the talent in their area. And then I remembered, wait a minute, Indiana State and Evansville are both killing it this year. They're recruiting some top end talent year in, year out.
Absolutely. Ball State is another one that's
yeah, here. Yeah, exactly. And so like competing with those three other schools has got to be tough because, I mean, I would say, what was it like 2013 when you guys made a College World Series appearance with right. Sam Travis and Kyle Schwarber and them. I felt like they got the cream of the crop. Like anybody in Midwest went to Indiana. Like that was a school to go to for baseball. And now it's like all these smaller schools are starting to figure out their recruiting pitch and their ideas with technology and things like that and grabbing good junior college guys. I guess my question to you is like, what's your approach now knowing that you guys are still probably the top dog, but you still have to compete with other schools for the same types of players. And also, do you guys really dive into junior college players? Because James and I both play junior college ball ourselves, and we know about that recruiting process, and it gets pretty competitive.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the whole spectrum of college baseball as a whole, you start to really see, you know, the playing field start to even out with now the new age, the social media, you know, the exposure to players, the ability to find information and really gather information easily. I mean, it's all right there. You don't have to necessarily go digging and pull out a roadmap when you're driving across the country and try to find these high schools and all this. It's the technology now has really helped from that standpoint and has made, you know, players a lot more visible to college coaches, and guys just don't get missed on as much anymore. And you start to see that. And now, you know, across the country, there's a lot of mid-major programs that are producing as good of or better talent than, you know, your high major schools. And I've seen it firsthand. Obviously I played at a mid-major school. I've coached at mid-major schools before. And we had, you know, players and that was always the thing where you got players there and you're like, man, like, you know, as a player at a mid-major, you're like, oh, you play against a, you know, a Power Five school and you're like, oh, I can play with these guys. You know, I could have played.
Oh, school. Exactly.
You know how that is. And it's like that everywhere. And that's where the development part, I think, is that much more important, you know, and we'll recruit, you know, all over the country. Obviously we'll look into junior colleges and do all that just like, you know, most schools will. But at the end of the day, it's about finding the right guy that fits, you know, what we do. The right guy that fits the culture that we're building, the right guy that fits the makeup, the right guy from an athletic standpoint that fits what we feel like with our strengths from a development standpoint, we can get in here and continue to push them to a place that is going to make the best version of themselves, which at the end of the day, you know, you hope that's somebody that is, you know, helping your team win a lot of ball games and also putting themselves in a position to go play professional baseball and be successful.
Yeah.
Professional baseball.
Yeah. And so for the listeners out there that don't know what an incredible recruiter Coach Dykes is, I will paint the picture for you in as a former rival of VMI, because I played at Mercer University, which was a interconference rival for Virginia Military. And I'll tell you what, like the talent you guys had was bar none, like the most professional ready talent. And to recruit a kid to go to, in my opinion, one of the worst places to play baseball at. Like, the campus isn't pretty. It's up in the mountains in the middle of nowhere in Virginia. The stadium's nice. The field's really nice. Great for hitters. But between, like, Jacob Jay and Matt Pita, Peyton Maddox was the catcher of that team.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Colin Fleischer hit about 25 home runs. And then you had Josh Winder, probably the best Friday guy in the nation, throwing, like, 92-mile-an-hour Mariano Rivera cutters at your hands. Yeah. I think you guys had like six or seven players drafted in the last couple of years. And to get those kids to commit to a military institute that wasn't the Armies or the Navies or the Air Forces, that had to have been really tough. But, I mean, golly, you guys, as far as professional talent, you had probably the most in the SoCon and top five in the mid-majors across America.
So what we're saying is you can give yourself a pat on the back.
Yeah, no, the recruiting pitch you have must be top of the line for sure.
What you get at that place is you get guys that love to work. That's just the bottom line. What I learned at VMI is you can find out really quick, really, really quickly when you're talking to a player, when you're talking to a family, you know, who wants to be there, who doesn't, who's there for the glitz and glamour, or who's there to work and who's there to go win ball games and who's there to become a better baseball player in their career. And at VMI, you just know that because, like you said, when you get on campus, it's different than any other campus in the country.
Yeah.
And you walk on there and you realize, hey, like there's going to be some things here that I'm going to have to go through. And you can look at it and say that, you know, I'm not going to get the experience that most people are going to get at a normal type college atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, or you can sit there and say, hey, this place is actually going to help me and eliminate some of the distractions of a normal college atmosphere. And it's going to help me really focus and invest on the things I came to college for, which are academics and baseball. Yeah. So, and you find out which guys want to do that and you find out which guys don't. And it was actually a really quick recruiting process a lot of time with guys, because it's either like an instant no, or it's an instant like maybe, and a maybe is like, yeah, this guy might be in, you know? So, it was an unbelievable experience. Coach Hadra there at, I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
He's an alum from there and obviously is running an incredible program. I had the opportunity to go work for him for 4 years and for four seasons, about 3.5 years. And, you know, he actually, funny story, and it all comes full circle, but he had a hand in recruiting me to go to Western Kentucky as a player.
Oh, is that right? That's cool.
While and he gets back to VMI as an assistant and had bounced around to a couple places and then gets the head job there. And when he gets the head job there, I was fortunate enough to get in touch with him and we were able to talk and I was able to go out to Lexington and spend some time with him. And that was really my first experience as a paid assistant. And he, you know, really just kind of let me work, just trusted me to do, you know, what I wanted to do and was unbelievable just as a leader and as a head coach there, and they're in great hands. And we were fortunate while we were there to, you know, have some really good offensive teams, some mm-hmm. top 10 offenses in the country over the course of those 3 or 4 years. And, I think we had more underclassmen drafted in a single year than they had ever had in history.
There you go. I knew you knew.
Yeah, we recruited a couple top 100 classes, which they had never had before there. And so there's still talent there and young talent there right now that, here in the next couple of years, they're going to keep getting better and better and he's going to keep leading them to a good spot. So they're in a great place and that place is special, man. That place is awesome. And I really, really enjoyed my time there. It takes a tough dude to go to school there
absolutely,
you know, and take in just what everything that comes with that experience. So, but it's beneficial at the end, man. That place is awesome.
Oh yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you, I mean, clearly you've had a lot of success in all of your endeavors, but what fires you up most when you go to the yard every day? You like working with the catchers more? You like working with the hitters more? Like, my question would be, of all the things, which of them at the end of 3 hours of doing not lessons but work could you say, oh damn, it's been 3 hours? Like, what really gets you going? What fires you up?
Honestly, man, if you really want me to, it's just the relationship part of the whole thing with the players, like the hanging out at practice, the hanging out in the locker room, the hanging out in the dugout with those guys, and really like investing in and what's going on with them in class, you know, what's going on off the field, like what's going on with their family, you know, finding out more about them, how, especially now, like it's our first year at IU and we didn't recruit a lot of these guys. So a lot of this whole process over the past, you know, 6-7 months has been, obviously the development part has been a huge part of it, you know, and trying to teach them our processes and our systems and how we do things and what we believe and why we believe in them and all that. But a huge part of it and a fun part of it has been just getting to know these guys. You know, you got guys, you know, freshmen all the way up to redshirt seniors that have been at IU for, you know, 1 to 5 years that we didn't know before that. And now you're trying to figure out and learn everything about them in the past. You've seen before we got here, you saw the numbers and that's it. And these guys are, there's nothing you can learn about these guys from that. You know, you got to get in there and you got to talk to them and you got to getting in the cages with them and you got to get on the field with them and you got to sit in the locker room with them and just find out, you know, what gets them going, what makes them tick, what they like, what they don't like. And just really that's what fires me up. Honestly, that's what fires me up to come to work every day. When I leave work every single day, like that's what I'm excited about. And then I get to watch, I got two little boys right now. I got a 2-year-old, that's at the park as much as I can get him here and you know, to watch him kind of hang out with the guys, that gets me going too, man. That fires me up.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. So one more question before we let you go. Yeah. I know you got some kids to take care of back home. So this is kind of a unique question that has nothing to do with baseball, but just as a, let's see how well you know the players of the team. If you had to choose one player on your team right now, current roster, to run for president in 2034-ish, somewhere in there, who are you putting your livelihood, like whose hands are you putting and your livelihood hand into, and why?
And why? I'm gonna give it to Logan Kalitha.
Logan Kalitha. Okay.
Logan Kalitha. Logan Kalitha, center fielder. He's hurt right now, actually. Hasn't been playing. He's been down. Had a couple injuries this year as a senior for us. Was a junior college guy.
Oh yeah.
and the reason I say that is because there's nobody that brightens up a place when they walk into it like that dude does.
I love it.
The same guy every day. You know what you're gonna get from him. You know the effort you're gonna get every single day. And when you're looking for somebody in a leadership position, and that's what I think of when I think of the president, I just want somebody that's going to be the same guy every day. That's going to be honest, that's going to be open, that you're just going to get the realness of them. And so that's why I take Logue, man.
That's amazing. So for all of you employers out there looking to hire a I guess, a kid about to graduate from college. Seems like Logan Kalitha is the perfect person for you to hire. And look for Kalitha's name on like the 2034-ish election. But no, I agree with that. I think that's a good answer. And Coach, we really appreciate having you on. You're welcome back anytime.
We'll bring you back on.
Awesome, man.
You guys host that regional, we'll have you back on. And if you ever need anything from us, just let us know. We'll be here for you.
I really appreciate you guys, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. It's good for the game. Absolutely.
Good afternoon. All right, man.
This weekend, Coach.